That's not what brought me here today. I'm here because of our upcoming elections.
OBA nominations now. Oh,
welcome all of you to Home Affairs here on Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Edem Knight Tay. Always a pleasure to be serving you family lessons. Our energy is the fact that you're out there listening. So thank you for propelling us on. When we are out of the studio and we meet you, the feedback you give us, the encouragement you give us is enough energy to wake up every Saturday morning and come and share family lessons with you. So thank you. And let me say a very big thank you to Amasha Partners Limited and iCare. Yum Vita, a delicious way to grow. Dano Milk, choose tasty milk, choose nourishment, choose Dano Milk. Dano Milk, go for it. And Sankofa Natural Spices, Didiye. They sponsor Home Affairs and we say thank you for banking on families. You are the real MVP, so thank you. What did you do for Mother's Day? What did you do for your mother on Mother's Day? I think 3 days or so after Mother's Day, then I saw that my sister had posted my late mom's photo. When I saw it, I just said, "My mama." Keep resting in peace, Eugenia Abrapwe Agra. It's been like 30 years. But I would still love to know what you did for Mama. And the daddies are up in arms. Every day somebody tags me in something. Adam, what is Joy FM doing for Father's Day? Don't worry. By the end of this week, we will break the news. There are some amazing fathers out there. And so to keep encouraging the likes of Kofi Donko, Philip Nye, Danny Amwati, we will celebrate you, don't worry. But this morning, though, we have a very interesting conversation coming up for you. You know, last week I had some beautiful ladies join me in the studio and we talked about the impact of Mama on our lives. And by the time we were done with the conversation, I had tried, you know how I do it, and gotten them to promise and pledge that they were going to be here again this week. And yay, they are here. I'm excited to have them here this morning. And we are going to have a conversation on balancing your home and work life. Quickly, let me welcome my guest, Baba Ankra, entrepreneur and founder of Goba Kente. Hi, Baba. Good morning. Welcome to you one more time.
Hi, Dem. Good morning.
Ish, you're looking fabulous. Wow. And Dado, who is a baby and a mommy at the same time. She mothers Noel. So Dado is a multi-passionate entrepreneur and founder of Niche and CEO of Adeco Minds. Dado, good morning.
Good morning.
Today I get to learn a bit about Adeco Minds. I hear it, but I get to learn a bit about it. Last Tuesday, you weren't at our meeting. You know the meeting.
Yes,
and somebody gossiped about you. Jesse Japon, I'll tell you when we're done. Yes, he was gossiping about you. In fact, to me, can you imagine?
Oh,
so
wow.
Who is the real gossip here? And then Marie Noel Yakubu, founder and CEO of Marie Noel Spa and Salon. And Marie also runs an academy, Marie Noel Academy. Good morning to you ladies and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You should be coming here every Saturday because, like, you pack up my energy like no other. Thank you. Good to see you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. And we're going to be talking about balancing your home and your work life. last week when I listened to them, I'm like, okay, so how are they doing it, you know? And it's because that's a lot of challenge for a lot of women. And I have personally launched an advocacy. I meet a lot of young women and young married women who probably have a child or two. And life is also overwhelming because it is as though one must give. Either the work must give or the home will suffer. Being able to merge the two together and run it like the pro they are expected to be is always a challenge, and they're very overwhelmed. And last week I shared a story. I began, a series of write-ups that I will be doing. And last week I shared one about this lady who had called me because this makes it about 3 or 4 weeks after the show like this. And she got my number and called me and said she wanted to speak to a counselor, like by force. I said, calm down. What's the problem? And, she was quite hysterical. So what's the problem? Calm down. I tried. And I said, okay, let me know what it is. Then I probably would know who to be able to recommend to have a conversation with you. She wasn't having it. At that point, I felt like, okay, I need to be able to speak to this lady myself. So I was going to push her. Gradually, she said, I won't understand. She said, Auntie Deb, you won't understand. I said, why? She says, you see, you people who sit on TV and radio, most of the time don't understand those of us in the real world. I said, okay. Being on radio and TV means that you have been secluded from the real world. No problem. Just try me. I could understand. And she still was hesitant. I asked her, where do you live? Fortunately, she lived on my way home. So I asked, can we meet? She says, yes. And I said, okay, I'll meet you up. Somehow, I was very interested in having a conversation with her, and I met her. Then she told me her story about, So if you go on my Joe online or my own page on Facebook, you will see I titled it, I Understand. Because I had to make her know that I understand over and above. Yeah. Beneath, in between, and under G.
Yeah.
Everything that you're going through. So I shared bits and pieces of my own story with her. By the time I was done, she was calm and knows that I understand. And so we could talk. Then I promised my readers that this week I was going to share the part two, which was some of the coping tips I shared with her. And I promised I was going to share some coping tips I shared with Bella with you. Let me state unequivocally here that these are not coping tips canned from any literary work. I shared them with Bella from my very personal experiences and observations. I lived through her situation and more, so it is no imaginary or fictional work. I also acknowledge the fact that we are all different and wired differently, so this is not a one-size-fits-all approach to all such situations, but trust me, the principles will most likely remain the same through whatever challenge you may be dealing with. Pick the principles and big blocks and fit your peculiar situation in there and tailor it to suit yourself. So let me just share one of the coping tips with you, and then you can go on my journal line. This one is titled, She Understood. And you can read it. You can also read the previous one to be able to get a better understanding. So my first coping tip, and like I said, this is from my personal observation, my personal experiences and observation. Recognize and acknowledge that you have a challenge and don't live in denial. Accept that you're overwhelmed and truly need support. Until this is done, you may continue to wander and wallow in self-pity. Eventually, you will slip into depression, and if care is not taken, the best of you could be lost. Note that some people never recover from depression. I sincerely applaud Bella for realizing that it was time to seek help. Some people never realize it. They internalize, choose to endure suffering, which is counterproductive and detrimental to your health, and then call it being strong. I personally do not subscribe to that. Ask for help when you need it. It is actually the preserve of strong people. Strong people know when to ask for help, when to rest, and when to stop. There is no strength in suffering in silence. Now, who you run to for help in such situations is very critical. Again, I am so glad she did not go to her parents. It is not to say that we should cut our parents off. No. If your parents are open-minded, understanding, and objective, and will be able to analyze the issues practically and objectively without being overly emotional because you are their child, then yes, talk to them. Otherwise, most marriages, and for that matter, homes, have lost their peace and glory because parents were too emotional, took sides, and did not do justice to the problem. I have always cited these instances at my speaking engagements. Now listen, if robbers entered your home and any of your parents happened to be there, and a rifle is put to your head, put to their heads, to choose one of you to be murdered, who do you think your mother or your father will choose? Even if you are in no position to take care of the family and provide adequately, your parents will not point to you to be murdered. You are their child. Because of that, parental love and affection. Most parents are not objective in their decision making when it comes to their children. And that's very okay. This is why in a serious relationship problem, daddy and mommy, for me, are not my recommendations, except for the qualities I mentioned above. Get professional help. What you need is a solution, not empathies and allies. And she understood me. You can go on to read the rest. It's quite a long read, and I must say that it's quite insightful. And that's how I want to start the conversation this morning with this beautiful, amazing woman who are practically doing these things. Practically. And they will share their experiences with us. Again, they haven't told me that, but I want to believe that, like I shared, this is not something they have gone to read in any books, that they are coming to read books to you. They're sharing their lives, their journeys, their experiences, and how they are able to juggle all of these together. Can wake up in the morning, like, you know, 4 or 5 a.m. and be looking this amazing and come on radio. I'm sure there are things you have to do. You're finished, you have engagements, you have meetings here, you have home to take care of. How do they also do it? So once again, Baba, Dedo, and Noel, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Great. So we'll get into the conversation immediately. You can interact with us on WhatsApp 055-1111-997, 055-1111-997. We are also live on Facebook and on YouTube at Joy997. And you can also send messages if you like to my personal page, Adam Knight T, or you can inbox me if it's, you know, something you don't want to share openly. Now let's go. Let me find out who do I start with? I'll start with you, Baba. No, I'll start with Noel.
She has the experience.
Yes, she I can tell.
Yes.
You know, like I said,
and
I used to...
you always start with me.
No, that's fine. It's because, like, you're the big sister in the room. Yes. So, yeah, that's me okay. No, I used to do two notes at Chalemia. The day I listened to her, I'm like, okay, madam, keep quiet. But yes, I want to find out. No, also, how many children do you have?
Sibra? I have 4 children.
Yeah, yeah. You should see her. Today we'll do a 360 glam photo and share out there for like what, a 4-year-old mom. Hey, I have work to do. Like a mom of 4. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And the youngest is how old?
The youngest is 19.
My youngest turned 13 yesterday.
Oh.
Elliot, I think, Junior, happy birthday to you. So let me find out. Were you running the spa and the academy before the children came in, or, you know, how did it pan out?
Yeah, so I started. Okay, so when I had my son was when I went to school, my oldest.
Okay.
Yes. So after that, I started after school. I started in 98. I opened the beauty spa in 98. And
what was the first branch?
It was at Osu Akai House.
Okay.
Yeah, Akai House, where the old American Embassy used to be.
Do you still have a branch there?
I moved to Cuckoo Hill.
Okay.
Yes. So... I started off at Akai House, and it wasn't easy. I started in a small place because, of course, that was my starting point. And I had a lot of challenges when I started because it was a new thing. It was my passion. And because I already had the passion and I went through the education, and whilst I was in school, I used to go to a salon in the area where I went to school, and at the weekends, I'll go and help them out there. I volunteered so that I get the experience whilst I, you know, alongside with school. So when I came back to Ghana, I started the school.
You had a child. How old was your child at the time?
So at this time, my son was 11 months.
Ah. 11 months
yes.
with a baby.
Yes.
You were going to school.
Mm-hmm.
You were volunteering.
Yeah.
How were you managing all of this?
With the help of my mom.
Okay. So there was help in there.
Yeah. With the help of my mom. Yes. And so when I opened my own spa, the challenges came with the workers and our attitude, you know, towards work. Besides that, I also had to be a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be a wife and make sure my house was in order before I went to work, you know, and come back home. Take care of not only my husband but my child,
the baby.
Exactly, and my mom, you know. So this is how I started.
And then along the line, three other children came.
Yes, it was actually, I had my sons within 2.5 years, all three of them. So between my second and third, they are not up to a year. Yeah.
Wow.
They are 11 months apart. Yeah. It was back to back. Oh God.
No, like how?
Okay.
By 11 months you had had another baby.
Yeah. So I had I had the first one in 97, the second one in 98, the third one in 99.
This made my morning. I'm trying to work the math. Like, it's not added up.
Yeah.
So, actually supposed to wait
for 2 years or something.
Oh,
so, like, it's like maybe after 2 or 3 months, you're pregnant again. Hey. And you're running a business.
Yes.
So, you had little children to take care of.
Yes.
You had a business to take care of.
Yes.
You had your husband to take care of.
Yes.
You had yourself to take care of.
Yeah.
Okay, please. Tips on how you were managing all that. Then I'll move on. Wow.
I honestly don't even know how I did it. But I think I didn't think about... I just had to do what I had to do.
Mm.
I would make sure I didn't really have a plan, but I made sure I was working with my time. I didn't have that much time to. So I just had to be focused. I didn't have time for friends at the time. I wouldn't go anywhere because I just didn't have the time. So it was all about making sure that I had to execute. I wake up in the morning,
mm-hmm.
I take care of the kids and go to work. I do all my meal preps before I leave. So everything is packed and I'll go to work, and when I come home I continue with what I left, you know, behind. I'm actually thinking right now, how did I do all that?
Wow.
Yeah. So you just have to be consistent, focused, and do it cheerfully, you know, because sometimes it gets depressing, especially when you know, you're dealing with a sick child. You know, sometimes you wake up and your kids are not feeling well. It's challenging. Yeah.
And the business was new.
And the business was new.
It also needed
new.
A lot of attention.
Absolutely. And with this sort of industry, with the beauty industry, you also have to make sure you're taking care of other people. And they are coming with their problems
and
as
yourself.
Well. And yourself.
You can't give what you don't have.
No.
So how do you go looking all beaten and tired, and people will feel like you can take care of them?
Yeah.
You had a lot of work to do.
I did. And I still do.
Did you... I mean, were you feeling overwhelmed at any point in time? Like I had... Did you feel like you had a bit too much to do at some point in time?
Did I have a choice? I did. I did feel like that.
Mm.
But it was as though I didn't have a choice.
So what was driving you? What was it that was not giving you choices? What was driving you?
I think I'm just one of those people, you know. I got a lot of inspiration from my mom. She was always telling me how to make sure I get things done. I mean, at a point I asked her, I said, "Mommy, like, am I a super mom or what?" Like, you know, the drive also came from the fact that any time I worked on people and they were happy, it made me happy, you know. So I got a lot of drive from that. Mm. Yeah.
And the children, were you able to make as much time for them as a mom should? Looking back, do you think you did a good job at that as well?
Well, looking back, I tried, you know, and I did my best, and I think because I had my mom at home, I spent, okay, so we didn't have that much traffic then, so I'll come home in the afternoon to spend some time with them, and then I'll go back to work, yeah. So I tried as much as I could, yeah.
And you look at them, you look back, you look at yourself, you look at them today, and you're happy, right?
Very.
Great.
Very.
Before I come to you, Baba, let me go to Dedo.
Yeah.
Dedo, you tell me about Adeko Mines, first off. I know niche. People okay, so, don't know, but you tell me about Adeko Mines.
Adeko is my first baby. So that's the first business that I started as soon as I came to Ghana. And I started with what came to me naturally, which is events.
Okay.
And then I was naturally creative. So I told myself I was running a creative business, so I could design and print for you. So that's what I got doing. And in fact, when I was in secondary school, when I was in university, I actually used to print business cards. I did business cards for students. So I would do your business card, put your hall and then your phone number. I was doing it for some lecturers as well, those that I had access to. I would just tell them I could do this. So those were things that came naturally to me because I think I'm naturally creative. So that's how I started Adeko. So we were doing events, we were doing creative design and printing, and then we were doing advertising. Then we went into media buying. So that's how I grew it by myself. And really, I learned from Google and from experts in the industry because I didn't have any academic background with all of those things. So that's how I sort of built Adeko.
Okay. I know that your situation is different from that of Noel and Baba. So I'm on a different tangent with you, and that I am also very passionate about. There are lots of young people who would go to school complete. And you know the situation around these days. I'm not getting a job to do, and then we're home. And sometimes you look on social media and you're very sad that, I don't know whether it is because people are not finding things to do or because people just want easy way out of things. And you see what young women are doing and you're very, very sad. Tell me, when you usually have your speaking engagement, you have young women who have, some have a lot of aspiration, some are very confused, some don't know what to do.
True.
And in one set of engagement, you will have all of these minds sitting there. I'd like us to take some inspiration from you.
Right. Okay. So, you know, I mean, as a business person, one of the things that I actually, should I say, doubled into when I started was, I was like, okay, let me recruit people. let me do some kind of agency thing. So I started, because I mean, that's how I am. I would look for opportunities to do things. People were looking for people to hire. So I started recruiting, asking people to bring their CV so that I would get them jobs.
Okay.
And when I started that, I don't think I did it for even 6 months. It was a lot. I mean, the kind of CVs people sent, mm-hmm. if I asked them to come in, so I'll prep, I would see what they're capable of before they go to see prospective companies. It was too much. And I was like, okay, this is something, it's either I'm deciding to do
that. What
was the problem? They were so unprepared. I don't know if they didn't get what it means to... And I had a different mindset because I thought, if I'm going for an interview, I'll go on Google and say, what do I need to do? Or ask people, how do I prepare myself? Or how do I put my letter together? The way they even write their letters, like, hi, it's not formal. It's like they're not even thinking through the whole process. So it's like, I'm just trying to find a job, and they do anything. There's no research. There's no preparation. The way they come, I'm like, there's no way I'll hire you looking at you. You're coming for an interview. Look at how you are looking. They're just not prepared. And so I thought, wow. And that sort of, it's one of the reasons why, I mean, I do the True Life conferences, because I felt that people needed to tell people their stories, especially from the university at that level, so that before they come out, their mindset will be changed. Because I think that also is a big deal. If people's mindsets are changed, if they understand that nothing is going to be handed over to them on a silver platter. Mm-hmm. It's not like once you finish university, you are going to get a job that's paying you X, Y, Z amount. And I think that's what people think. Once I have the qualifications, these days people, after a degree, they're doing their master's. And so they come and they think that because of these papers that I have, I'm qualified to do to get paid X, Y, Z, not even to do. So it's really sad, like you're saying, to see that people are not that serious about investing in themselves. And this is not to say even investing money, investing time, investing thinking into who they want to be, what they want to do. Because I tell some of them, if you really want to work for Joy FM, just go there and then volunteer. Because right now on the market, there's so many people who are looking for jobs. If you go and volunteer, and you're coming in every day, you're coming in on time, you're doing all the work, you're doing the right things, and they can see potential in you, nobody is going to ask you to leave. By the time you've done a month or 2 months with them, they would notice you, and they would ask you, I mean, to stay on or maybe do something. And that's how you build from there, because in a market that is so saturated and choked, you need to sort of prove yourself. I remember the first job that I ever did for a company. I was 18 or 19. I went to Millicom Ghana then, because it was new. When Mobitel,
yeah,
really confused. Yeah, when that came, I mean, mobile phones came and Millicom was opened. They were then in Joel. I was like, okay, I just wanted to work. I'd finished secondary school, and I wrote an application, took it there. I remember the CEO, it's a lady. She was actually called Angela. And she said, oh, they didn't have anything, so another time they would see. And then I told her that, oh, I could come in and just help her. I could make her tea, I could just come and help her around. I don't live too far from here, so it's okay. She said, oh, this really isn't any opportunity for me to do any work, but if something comes up, they will call me. Guess what? When I got home, I think before that day ended, I got a call and they asked me to come to work the following day. And I wasn't making her tea or coffee. I was working in the department that at that time you call people and tell them that my name is Dedo Kofi. I'm calling from Mobitel. Your credit balance is maybe 20 CDs. You need to top up so that your line doesn't get cut off. And we're all given a list to do. So that's how I started working for them. And that was a great experience for me. they gave me the job, obviously, because I'm sure they thought that, okay, this girl has potential for her to come out there.
And you had to drive.
And say, yes. So, I mean, people are not willing to do that. I think right now a lot of people feel entitled. I've done all the school, and so you need to pay me X, Y, Z. And they're not willing to even prove themselves. Mm-hmm. I really wish that young people will take some time to reflect and see how they can make stand out in this world with so many people competing for things that are not available in abundance. And to be able to do that, you need to prove yourself in a certain way. Mm. And the irony also is that people, we are all employers, we're always looking for people, and you can't find them. So, and there's
so many people who are looking for jobs.
You keep interviewing and interviewing, and you're still looking for the right person.
So, I mean, this is a two-part masterclass, if you like. I have two women who, you know, have children, running homes, running businesses, and Dado is one that's also very passionate about. If you like, about people being able to thrive regardless of where you find yourself, and she's just shared some nuggets with us. You know. People are not willing to invest in themselves. So, I mean, mommies, daddies, if you're home, you want to wake up your youngsters up, if they are listening, they will have to begin to learn to invest into themselves. She talked about investing time. I mean, at this age, of course, we do know that you don't have money to invest into anything, but you can invest time into enhancing your own knowledge, not just going to school and reading textbooks, you know. She also talked about selflessness and volunteering. It's one of the ways that you can actually prove yourself and get into people's faces and people's hearts. Mm-hmm. Other than some of the things we do, that it has to be who you know, you have to use what you have to get what you want, mm-hmm. and all of those. But you can be a very, very smart person. Just learn. I mean, it's a very good thing. Learn to be selfless and volunteer a little bit. Sometimes even agree to do things. I mean, she mentioned that, yeah, I've gone to school, I have a degree, and you're feeling also entitled. Do you know the number of people who have degrees in this country, you know, who are looking for jobs? There must be something you are able to do to stand out. And it's about selflessness and volunteering, and drop the feeling of, and you're feeling also entitled, that is got to be given to me when you haven't worked for it. So please take this and put it into your pocket. It's very, very important. Let me come to you. Or you give me a little before I come to you, Baba. Let me also remind our listeners of some of the businesses that are investing a lot into us here on Home Affairs. And it's not because we are feeling also entitled.
You do the work.
It's because we have proven ourselves, you know, to say that when you invest your money into us, we are able to put it to good use and have beautiful ladies like we have in the studio come to share knowledge and nuggets with our audience. So Yum Vita infant cereal with milk is fortified with NutriV, which contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, iron, and calcium, to aid in baby's healthy growth. It comes in three delicious flavors, maize, wheat, rice, and wheat variants, and also in three unique pack sizes, 50 gram, 400 gram, and 350 block bottom pouch. Get the pack size that best suits your family needs. Yum Vita, a delicious way to grow. And it is historic, iconic, and thrilling. Birthed in Spain in 1635, caught the eyes of the world, performed in almost all stages in Europe, listed as one of the 40 greatest plays of all times. Now in Africa, Accra, it's the Afrocentric edition of Life is a Dream by Latif Abubakar, a Spain-Ghana production. Live at the Accra International Conference Center on the 27th and the 26th of May. Two shows each day, 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. It's 150 Ghana cedis. You can dial *447*. 1092 hash to grab a ticket, or visit Latif Globe on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram for details. Early bird tickets are 100 CDs before the 19th of May, which was yesterday. So now you can get it for 150, and you can dial *447*1092#, or you visit Latif Globe on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Tickets are available also at Joy FM, Bachona, Total and Airport Shell. Life is a Dream is sponsored by Embassy of Spain and MNNC Group, supported by the Second Coming of Nkrumah Project, powered by Joy Entertainment, Graphic News Plus app and Globe Productions. Globe Productions, experience the best. I'm encouraging you this morning to enrich your breakfast with the nourishing goodness of Dano Milk Cool Cow Instant Powdered Milk. The rich taste of Dano Milk makes a perfect combination with your tea, oats, cocoa, and many more. It gives you that great tasting breakfast you've always desired. Dano Milk Cool Cow is fortified with vitamin A and is also a good source of protein and nutrients such as vitamin B12 and iodine to help keep you nourished and strong always. Dano Milk is affordable and in a shop near you. Choose Dano Milk today for your nourishment and build your strength every day. Dano Milk, go for it. Remember, this advert is FDA approved. And earlier, I told you about Yonvita infant cereal with milk, which is fortified with NutriView, and it contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, iron, and calcium to aid in baby's healthy growth. I needed to remind you again so you don't forget. Remember also that it comes in three different and delicious flavors: maize and wheat, rice and wheat variants, and also comes in three pack sizes: 50 gram, 400 and 350 gram block bottom pouch. Get the pack size that best suits your family needs. Yumvita, it's always a delicious way to grow. So let me come to you, Baba. Baba, you have to...
Yes, Adam, I do. Almost 9 and 2.
Oh, I was going to ask you, is your last 121? So that we take the title from Noel.
I can't even dream it.
9 and 2.
Yes.
I can't imagine how it feels like to be taking care of a 2-year-old baby. Jesus. Congratulations.
<That's true. laughs> Thank you.
And how long have you been running Go Back Into?
Okay, so I went into business, I think, around 2012.
Okay.
Because of unemployment. I had a degree in economics and computer science. But there was no job hiring after national service. So I decided to just start entrepreneurship. I outsource things from people and sell. It was African print bags and shoes that was in vogue around that time.
So hold on, you never worked?
I have. We'll get there.
Okay.
I have, but that's the beginning of my journey.
Okay.
And so it got to a point... I got married, had a baby, and the business, what I was doing then, sort of collapsed. Because one, I didn't think it was prestigious enough. I mean, I have a degree. Why do I have to be doing menial jobs?
Were you feeling entitled?
Maybe. Maybe then, you know. And, you know, when you tell people, there are these things people do that make you feel, why am I in business? Everybody's going to work and it seems like you're not serious, right?
Yeah.
So after 2014, I've had my baby. 2015, I decided to look for a job. And then banking came along. It's always been my dream job.
Okay.
So I quickly rounded up the business that I was running, everything, and then went straight into banking. Sometime 2018,
you know, that drive, that passion is still there to be a businesswoman sort of. Mm-hmm. So I decided to go back and rebuild my business. So this is where we gave birth to the whole Goba again. And it's been 5 years since I started that journey.
And banking came along. What happened to it?
So banking came along, did banking for 4 years, started the business alongside, like a side hustle.
Yeah.
Yes. To see how I can grow it. If I would want to quit finally and focus on this. Or let's just see how it goes. And so 2019, I made a bold decision that I think this is what I want to go and focus on. I didn't think I was being fair to my employers, because the business needed you. I've had a sales girl there. She'll be trying to call me. Meanwhile, I'm attending to a customer because I'm a relationship officer.
Mm.
So I had to make the decision and choose which one I want to do. And I decided that it's time to go and concentrate fully on Goba.
I see.
So yeah,
those are some very, very, you know, bold decisions.
Yeah.
When you're going into something you're not so sure, because
yes.
you had started a business once and then
collapsed.
It didn't turn out well.
Yes.
Then you got a safe, secure job that you know you could stay in and then be cruising. And then after like what, 3 years or so, or four. You so by which time go back into was how many years old?
Just about a year.
Hey.
Wow.
Okay.
Just about a year. You know, I always say I opened an empty flagship store. But when people got to know about it, there was a drive and there was a market there. I mean, I did economics, so I could see the demand coming in. Now, how am I able to position myself in such a way that this actually works? And it doesn't become something that you start, everybody gets in, and you have to fold up again.
Mm.
Just like what happened to the other business that I was doing.
Yeah.
The typical Ghanaian, we all see something doing well. We all want to go into that industry. So this time around, I had to make the bold decision. And I had a child that needed my attention too. I was feeling guilty, the mom guilt. You know, the bank transferred me to a place that I would drive 1.5 hours to get to work. So it means that by 6 a.m., I should be on my way.
Wow.
Yes, to my branch. And the traffic. So sometimes I would have to wait, stay behind, and leave the office around 7:30. Get home around 9. She's asleep.
Oh.
So I'll just go. They've picked her from school. The nanny has taken care of her. I was feeling really bad about it. I think it's one of the reasons why I decided that, listen, I would like to use the opportunity to go to school, focus on the business, and also try to have a second baby, because the second baby wasn't coming. Look at it. It wasn't coming because I was focused on work, business, and all of that. So let me note down these three major things I want to do. Go to school, pursue a master's degree, focus on the business and grow it.
And
work
try
on
and have a child.
A child, yes.
Another child, for that matter.
Yes.
And this was good enough for you to say that my safe, secure job I was doing is good to go.
I thought so, but after my last day of work, then I stayed in the car, I cried for 5 hours. I couldn't go home. Like, what have you done?
Yeah.
I like
the sound of that and the reality.
Yeah. What? Yes, it hits me. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw my colleagues because they thought I had left. Like, it's my last day, so I wasn't working and everything, all joyful. But I went to sit in my car. They all left to their houses before I left.
Wow.
I couldn't move. Are you serious? Have you really taken this decision that you don't want to work in banking? You are in premium banking, attending to high network individuals.
Mm.
Like, you don't want to do this, Baba. And you want to go and sit at Goba Kinti. But you have sent your letter.
Exactly.
And you had time to think it through.
Yes. So you have to. You have to.
Wow.
Tell me. I know that this will have a lot of impact on your mind. Like, you will be thinking, your mind will be racing. Like, the last day you found yourself crying. Meanwhile, you had thought that, okay, this is it for me. What sort of support did you get from your husband, your family? What sort of support did you get?
Okay, so my husband is a very realistic person,
mm-hmm.
and he will not just watch you make any decision. So when I told him that I wanted to resign because I had started building Goba, he tried to talk me out, but I had to let him understand the figures that were coming in and that this is possible. I had decided a year before that I would resign. So I started saving. So I have this amount of money to be able to cater for me in 6 months. Let's see how it goes. If it doesn't go well, nothing's full. I can go and look for
another job. Wow.
So that made him come at ease. My mentor is Uncle Bo White. I think then he was the major person that I would talk to about making some of these decisions. Mm. And he made me understand that it's very risky,
mm-hmm.
but there's no harm in trying. Go figure. Once you are very convinced in your heart that this is where you have to be at this time of your life, go and do it. So the support was there. I couldn't tell my mom because I know those were the three people I listened to. My husband, because you are building a family with. My mom, because I know she and my sister sort of depend on me. And my mentor.
So eventually you got the support of your husband.
Yes.
He was okay.
He was okay. Okay. He was okay. He just didn't want you to come and be emotionally broken because yeah. you have taken your decision. He's also an entrepreneur. He didn't think both of us have to be in a risky
space.
But then he can't also force you that stay there. You also have your own dream to dream. I just don't want you to come and be a liability on me. Make sure that the decision you are making is going to be beneficial for the family.
So now tell me, how are you juggling? How well are you juggling your husband, the children, the business, yourself? How well are you juggling?
I learned about compartmentalization.
Okay.
So, and prioritization. So I work with that a lot. I've learned to ask for help. If something needs to be done, I would make arrangements with my mom or my nanny and let my husband understand that I need to be away for this period of time. The business needs me. But when that is done, sorted, I'm here, I'm home. And even Michelle is grown enough, so I'm able to have a conversation with her that mommy has to get this done. Yeah. And I need you to understand and cooperate with me. Work with daddy, work with everybody that's available. If I have to be home, focus on the home, I talk to my team as well. I'm not available here. These are the decisions we are undertaking. I need you to handle this. I need you to handle that. If you have any challenges, report to me. So I'm able to compartmentalize every part of my life and get things running. It's not always perfect, but then it helps.
I see.
it's a lot, Adam. It's a lot, yeah. But it helps. Yes. You have to.
Multitask.
You have to. Don't forget, I have to take care of me too.
I asked for things.
Sometimes I just shut everybody out. Mm. Everyone, including my little child. If I have to take an hour or two to sit somewhere and have a quiet time, I would do that. Because I need to be well to take care of all of them.
Keep saying and you can give what you don't have.
Yes. I think my daughter, 2 years ago, she was going for a program at Mensia Palace. She was 6 then. And I was very worried about her. You know, she alone with her school. They're going to do this. She's going to be okay. And then when we got to the bus, she just said, "Mommy, bye-bye." And she entered the bus.
Mm.
She didn't look back to look at me, to show any uncertainty or anything. She was living her life.
Mm.
That day, something just
taught
changed.
You something.
Yes. It changed in my life that if I keep putting living on hold, what I have to do on hold, I would grow and resent these children. Because it's no fault of hers. She's living her life. She wants to go and have a good time at Mensia Palace. You are there crying. She's fine. So
yeah,
I learned that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let me come back to you.
She's living her life.
Yeah. I'm telling you, at that age, there was so much you learned that day. Yeah. You know, and there will come a time that, look, they will pursue their lives also. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they will pursue their lives. And so it's important that we don't put living on hold. I'll share something on that before we leave. Let me come back to you, Noel. So, 4 children. big business. I mean, it started small, but it's big now. And mommy is there. We didn't talk about... So you see, it's always important, especially so when you're married, it's always important to find out where husband is in all of this and how they are taking it and what supports. Because for Bella, whose story I shared, her biggest problem was her husband. Two children. She's had to do everything on her own. You know, wake up, take care of the children. She's thinking about school rounds and all that. She said she wasn't earning enough, so she couldn't get a nanny. She couldn't also bring her mother to come and live with her, because that means that taking care of a bit more. And she felt like her husband couldn't be bothered. And so all she was doing was looking for somebody to talk to her husband, for him to start reasoning. Now, when you do my write-up, I when you read it, you will get to know why I don't believe in start dealing with your with problems with the next person. It always starts with you.
Yeah.
It always starts with you. So in all of it, I said, leave your husband for now. You can't imagine the things that he is also going through.
True.
You're just thinking that he's unconcerned, he doesn't care and all that. You cannot imagine what he's going through. And because men usually don't say anything, they don't talk. And so we think they don't care. But he may be going through things that also making him react that way. Now let's focus on you and see how you can get your mind on that journey that will give you some respite. So where was husband in all of this? What sort of support, what sort of energy? Because you talked a lot about your mom.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of energy did you get from this man who made you a mother of four?
Yeah. So my husband was always around. He has always been around, and he's been supportive. And I think how he sees me doing things, it makes him relax.
Mm.
Because he realized that...
You got this.
He's been very supportive. I mean, a typical Ghanaian man. Mm. He supports me in everything I do, and he encourages me. And he also, like you said, they also have their challenges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just don't talk about it. But it's been a tough one. I have sort of done most of the things, especially with the kids going to school, drop-offs, meetings, PTAs. I've done it by myself. But he's been very supportive from afar. Yeah.
Great. I mean, once we acknowledge that support and not feel like the man is the problem,
yeah,
then we are okay. You know, 2 days ago I met a young woman and I was having a conversation with her along the same lines. I said, listen, you have to learn to focus on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that your husband is not important, but if you focus on yourself, God will bring you to the point where you will begin to see the relevance of your husband in your life.
Yeah.
And you may just begin to realize that some of the things you want from him are fairy tales and childish things.
Ah, tell them.
You understand?
Yeah.
I mean, I asked, imagine, you see the life you're living today and you're happy and all that. Imagine it without him. Take it as he's dead or he's not there. He's not there. Can you imagine how your life would be without him?
I can't, you know, because I move around a lot because of business. And my husband would be home.
Mm-hmm.
He would take care of the children.
Exactly.
He would feed them. When I travel, say we went to Dubai for 2 weeks. It's just my husband and the children at home. My mom will come in and bed them, feed them, everything. But in the night, he's the one nursing
them,
a 2-year-old.
Exactly. So, I mean, sometimes, and I feel like sometimes we also don't take the time off to go to them and ask, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way in which I can help or support you? Is there something I can do for you? But it is always about what they are not doing. Today I'm speaking for the husbands. Husbands. Those of you who support us, those of you who are there for us, we say thank you. We appreciate you so much. There are lots of women who go about, I'm doing it all by myself and it's just me and it's just me and it's just me. Really? You imagine that the man is not there and then let's see you all by yourself, you know. It may not be the people there changing the diapers and cleaning and sweeping and doing all of those things to support you, but they're playing very relevant roles that when they are not there, things cannot be the same. So let's stop kidding ourselves. Daniela, do we have our very good friend Josephine Gabriel on the line? Okay. Please let me go. I'll talk to Josephine in a little bit and come back. Hello, Josephine. How are you?
Hello.
Hi, Josephine. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm fine, thank you. And congratulations to you on the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Okay. Josephine is a young woman empowering young ladies, promoting education and improving livelihoods for the youth in marginalized communities. And she has an upcoming project, you know, she's helping young girls in schools to manage their menstrual cycles on World Menstrual Hygiene Day, gathering, you know, sanitary pads and all to go and give away. In just a minute or two, please tell me a little bit about what you're doing.
Okay, so this year's World Menstrual Hygiene Day, my team and I will be going to Somanya Methodist Basic School in Somanya to distribute sanitary pads to the teenage girls in the school and then educate them on menstrual hygiene.
Josephine, let me pry a little bit. How old are you?
I'm 31 years old.
Okay, great. Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
But let me find out quickly from you, what informed this? You know, at 31, you could be using your time to do just anything, but you're going around gathering sanitary pads. It's World Menstrual Hygiene Day. You're going to Somanya to go and give sanitary pads to these young girls and also educate them on menstrual hygiene. That's a very good one. Are you cool? But tell me, what's driving you? Why are you not using your time to do a lot of TikTok videos and be dancing and all of those things, but doing this? Not to say that those ones are not good, but why are you doing this?
Okay. Thank you, Ben. So, growing up, I've always loved to gather young ladies or children to teach them and inspire them. Like, I always want to teach them, train them to learn something for themselves. So, early last year, I decided to create, I called my friends, we came together, and then we raised some funds to start doing this charity project in less developed communities. So we had our first charity project at Ayimeka, where we shared stationary items to the kids there. Then last year, World Menstrual Hygiene Day, we went to Adan Kachem Methodist to distribute sanitary pads to the girls there. And what really inspired me to work with this World Menstrual Hygiene Day project is a story my mom once told me. That way back when they didn't know about this sanitary towels and tampons and all that. So there was one of her mates who had this cloth on, and during break time when they were playing, then the cloth fell off. Everyone saw the thing, then the lady stopped coming to school. Her education ended instantly because of that thing. So that story really touched my heart, and then I decided to go less developed communities to go and then share the sanitary pads and take them, because most of them can't afford the sanitary pads.
So that we're proud of you.
Deter them from going to India in their period.
We're proud of you. Thank you very much for the work you're doing. And I mean, it's one of the things that we, Daniela and I, will be doing for young people who are also doing things to inspire other young people and to support them. We'll every once in a while engage with you and just to encourage you and congratulate you. So thank you very much for the work you're doing. Yeah?
Thank you very
All the best, yeah. Josephine. That's very impressive. Like, well, you and your friends will come together and then you just contribute money. Let's buy parts and go and distribute to our sisters in some school somewhere and also talk to them about menstrual hygiene. And what's pushing her is just this one thing, one story that her mom shared with her. I call to you, and we'll see how best we are also able to support some of these initiatives by young people. Thank you so much. Dedo, I have a question to ask you. The way I came to you, it's like...
She's ready for you.
There are women who are also waiting, right? It's good to be married. It's good to be in a serious relationship. It's good to have your own family and all. But there are lots of young women who are waiting for this period. Not married yet. I will marry. Before the marriage, because like it or leave it, there are lots of people who are also thinking that it is the marriage that will come and change their lives and solve all their problems in this life for them. The man is an ATM machine in waiting, you know.
That'll be nice.
Who said that'll be nice? For women who are waiting to get married and start building their lives together, in terms of their hands finding things to do, what would you advise?
Okay, so women waiting to get married, I mean, obviously, if that's your desire to be married, I don't think you wait doing nothing. I mean, you have to live your life. And I think from the story shared or from the experience I have with my friends who are married, you still have to live your life. So being married doesn't mean that you don't chart a path for yourself. So whilst you're waiting, you have so much time on your hands because you don't have the responsibility of I have to be home at 5 or 6 to make sure that I prepare hot fresh meal, or I have to do this or I have to do that. So we have so much time on our hands to do all the things, to do all the preparation that we can. So I think that this is the best time to do all the things, to learn, to be better, if it's even school you want to go to, because once you get married, then the responsibility of children. So things that you know that you want to achieve. The men too are looking for somebody who is something. So make sure that whilst you're waiting for that someone, you are also becoming that someone. You know what I mean? So these days they say, what are you bringing to the table?
Great.
But so that make sure that when you're going to the table, you're going with something. It would be amazing to have a cash machine. But even if your husband is someone who has a lot of money or who has some wealth, is coming with some wealth, you still have to be doing something. And people need to remember that somebody that's having money doesn't mean they dish it out to you. You need a kind man to be able to enjoy that blessing that comes with a rich person. Right. So pray for a kind man, not just a rich man.
Whilst you're praying for that, you have got to prepare yourself.
You have to prepare yourself.
Great. And Baba, I'll come to you shortly for your final words as well. But once again, because I need you to know that Yom Vita is critical to the growth of your children, let me remind you again that Yom Vita instant cereal with milk is fortified with Nutri-V, which contains 16 essential vitamins and minerals, including zinc, iron, and calcium to aid in baby's healthy growth. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, maize and wheat, rice, and wheat variants. And it also comes in 3 pack sizes, 50 gram, 400 gram, and 350 gram block bottom pouch. Get the pack size that best suits your family needs. Yum Vita is a delicious way to grow. I'll take your final thoughts on this, Baba. That's a lot of us women, once we begin to work and we're making money on our own and we can stand on our feet, then we jump and we sit on our husband's heads like this, like, you be use your mother. And then all of a sudden, you know, chese,
boss chick.
We have come on top. You know, we have come on top. Your thoughts on that and maybe some advice to share. laughing?
Anna, have you come on top?
She hasn't. I'm laughing because randomly my husband says, "Wabaso." Randomly he says that to me, but no, I don't think once you come into money or power, you should sit on anybody. I think what a lot of us don't do is to work on our emotions and learn how to handle some of these things. So we have to work on ourselves, our leadership skills, how to handle life's issues, because they would come, and how not to rub wherever you think you are going into your partner's face. Because for me, I've been able to ascertain that the journey that I am on, I cannot do it by myself. I need this person by my side. You know, he's very grounded. In terms of your finances, because he will tell you that money is like a tap flowing. Sometimes it goes off. Mm. And so be able to handle your finances well, so that tomorrow when the business is not vibrant anymore and everything, or it goes off, you still even have some capital to restart another project.
Great.
So yes.
So please don't come on top and go.
No. You need them. When you partner with them, great things happen. Great. For you, for your children as well.
Great. Yeah. Great. It's been a very, you know, lively morning, and I appreciate the thoughts we have shared here. I mean, Baba mentioned a point, you know, about you not putting living away. And the last paragraph of the write-up I shared, Life Lounge with Adam Naite, you will be reading it every week. I said, live a bit more. Yes, live a bit more, because the problems will never finish. Mm-hmm. There will be new hurdles to surmount every day. Some may even be more challenging than what you're dealing with today. And so don't put living away till you solve all the problems around you. That will never happen.
Yeah.
And I treated myself better, took my personal grooming seriously. I lived consciously and became a happier person. I got off my antidepressants. Adam, I was back happier, bubblier. And, you know, I traveled, I chilled with my friends and family. And I am living fully. So don't put living away. Wahala, no de finish. It will not finish. Tomorrow there will be another one. And if you're waiting for it to totally finish,